Let us pray. Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ. We entreat you now for the unction, the anointing. We are asking for strength and vitality, that we might be able to share that which will edify, that which will deliver, that which will give us the ability to overcome the devil. And that we might have the illumination of the light of God. Not only in our soul, Lord, but also in our environment in which we live. For you have proclaimed that we are to be the light of the world. And there is a power of deliverance. There is a power of healing that is in the Word of God. We ask for that testimony this evening, this afternoon, Lord. That those that hear might be healed, that they might be delivered, that we can go beyond preaching, that we can touch the realm of God in His garment, that virtue might flow into us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You don't sound like you believe it. I'm not the one they have to hear, really. It's him. I can use that, I suppose.
When you get ahead of him, sometimes he can't hear what you say.
Now, children, are you listening to me? I expect you to listen to me. Praise the Lord. You need to pay attention. There's a calling, there's an election on each and every one of your lives. It is not by chance that you find yourself in these meetings. You may not necessarily understand the word that is being spoken, but there is a power in the word that will minister to you as an individual. So I need your undivided attention. That means you're not talking to the person behind you. You're not fighting with the person next to you. Nor are you poking the person in front of you. Because if you misbehave, I'll have to talk to you. Praise God. You know, it's really something when we move in an authority that God gives us as parents and as overseers for the work that God has given us. Whenever my oldest son, he has 8 children. The oldest is 17. And the youngest is 3, 4, 5 months. 11 months. But whenever he has trouble with his other children, older children, he sends them over to my house. And he asked me, Dad, will you talk with this child? So I have lots of practice in talking to children that are rebellious or rowdy or unruly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There was some very good word that was laid down this morning. I would suggest that you get the tapes that we will have and that we will give to you. And I would suggest that you go back over them. You know, quite frankly, when God sends me somewhere, or I should say, when God sends us somewhere, we do not go on our own accord. We are, when we don't really come just to fix you, but we come because there is something of an anointing, there's something of an unction in the word that God has put on our hearts. And if we're not responsible for it, if we don't do something about it, and I mean the something is to re-chew it, regurgitate on it, and to swallow it, bring it up, work on it some more. You have a responsibility. And your responsibility goes beyond just coming here, sitting in a chair, and filling up space. You have a responsibility to allow the word to have to take root within your soul. To begin to grow, to produce what it is designed to produce, so that at the end of the day, when the great tribulation is coming, you will not be taken unawares, or will you be in fear of your life. Because believe you me, brethren, great tribulation is coming to the world, such as the world has never known. We are living in that time frame. We have already seen some major destruction in various places. And the Philippines is not immune to some of that destruction. You sit on some very big and very active volcanoes. And in one day, not even a day, maybe an hour, in 1 hour, things can change so drastically for you and never be the same again. So if you can get the reality of what it is that we are bringing to you, praise the Lord. And I am not one that just comes in here, gives you a message and leaves. I take the message that I minister and I listen to it over and over and over and over again. Because because a lot of what I am hearing, I am hearing it for the first time as I am telling you. When I was a young man, about 25 years of age, God spoke to me a prophetic word by a man who was a prophet who we knew very well in the States. And when he laid hands on me, he said that God had a very special job for me to do. He said it would be a job that needed to be done because Jesus Christ was coming. He has also told me it's a job that men don't want to do. But I have nothing to say about that, except for maybe oh me or oh my. But I try to say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, my mentor, my teacher, Brother Duciel, he said, dealing with the church is one of the hardest jobs that anyone can deal with. It's one of the hardest jobs that one can have concerning the operation and the moving of people together. Hallelujah. And I have found that that's really true. Not really, not just with you or some other place that I've been, but within my own soul. And the resistance that rises up because it is something that I don't want to hear, or it is making some sort of demand upon me which I do not want to give, or it would seem that sometimes at the end of the day all of the labor, all of the sacrifice, all of the trouble that you have gone through the years is for naught. Because the devil will come in and just blow it to pieces. And I'm going to be quite frank with you. And I'm going to be very honest with you concerning my own weakness, perhaps. You know, there has been a word that is coming to you. Well, for at least 5 years that I know about. And when I look at the church, I see all the religiosity, I see all of the tradition, I see men who take the word of God and handle it in a way that it should not be handled. Hallelujah. And it's really quite frustrating for me. It's really quite disappointing for me. Now that may be, in your estimation, a point of humanity. But to some degree, I think I feel the grieving of God. I see people taking the word of God that we are bringing, using it for their own advantage, not changing, not changing, remaining the same. Hallelujah. Having the word of God but denying the power therein. The word of God is designed to change you. Change you. The personality that I have in my position of natural blood. Is a position that is a position that is of no value to God whatsoever. Hallelujah. It's of no value. Hallelujah. If I do not allow the word to change me, I can come and preach to you. I can prophesy over you. I can give you the dreams and the visions that God gives me for the end time. But it will not help you in the day of trouble. When the day of tribulation comes, what you have heard, unless you have begun to put it into practice, it will be of very little value to you. And in that time, you will find yourself fighting for life, trying to sustain yourselves, sustain your family and your children. Hallelujah. Without the strength or the ability to do so. Hallelujah. This church really is no different than most of the churches who have heard this word. Most of the churches that have heard this word, they have turned their back upon God. They may preach a message that has the word kingdom in it, but there is no change in their lives. They are remaining, not is there not any change, but they are reverting. They are like dogs that return to their vomit. Hallelujah. I hope that this is not one of those churches. I hope that you are not one of these people. Hallelujah. Somebody in the midst of this congregation needs to get into the Spirit of God and touch the hem of God's garment. As much as for themselves. And I should say probably more so for themselves. Than for the church that they are overseeing or preaching to. Hallelujah. Because the fact of the matter is, the greatest weapon that the devil has against you or I is our own soul. There was a revelation that God was bringing to me here a while back. Hallelujah. And I became somewhat very surprised over the simple truth that God shared with me. Hallelujah. And it is this truth that I want to share with you. I had a vision a number of months back. Maybe it's been a year or more now. I don't know. And I was standing on a high, very high cliff. And the cliff jutted out away from the face of the mountain. Like a promontory rock sticking out. You know, it wasn't something that was really stable, nor did it look very secure. And you think, with all of the flying I do, that I would not be afraid of heights, high places. But this place was very unstable. The rock itself on which I was standing, you could feel it moving. But I knew that God had put me out there for a reason. And as I looked down upon the scene that was below me, I suppose there are some places here in the Philippines that you can identify that it would look like that. There was a big, long beach that went for several miles on the right, and it went for several miles on the left. And the water was a color of turquoise. It was not blue like I'm accustomed on the Pacific side of the United States or the Atlantic side of the United States. But it was very refreshing looking. And the beach was full of people. And I knew that the people were the Holy Place Church. Now, when I say Holy Place Church, I mean that it is people who have heard the message of the tabernacle. We had a very good word for it this morning. Very detailed, very graphic, very simple and easy to understand. But I really do not know how many of you really heard it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as I was looking down on the beach, I could tell the people were dressed inappropriately for holy place people. The clothes that both the men and the women were wearing were very revealing. Some of them didn't even look like they had much clothes on. Hallelujah. And they were frolicking and playing and doing all kinds of things. And some of the games that they were playing were inappropriate games. It was sensual, sexual, and seductive. One of the major problems of the end time church is sexuality. When I was in Sierra Leone, when I arrived there at Freetown, as is my custom, and as they were taking me to the hotel that I was going to stay at that night, hallelujah, I asked the Lord, what is the ruling spirit that night? I had a visitation. A huge serpent came into my room. He was so big around that I could not get my arms around him if I was so inclined to do so. And he was a hybrid. You know what a hybrid is? It's a cross between two things. And he had the head of a spitting cobra. Hallelujah. Which the Lord revealed to me was the spirit of religious deception. But it had the body of a python snake. Hallelujah. Do you have pythons here?
Nah.
You don't?
Nah, there is.
You do?
Nah.
That means yes? Yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. A python is a representation of a sexual spirit. They use it in rituals, fleshly rituals, and in cult worship. Hallelujah. And many times the brethren, by some means or another, will in Africa will find a python in their house. They do not know how it got there. They do not know the means or the door that was used by it. Hallelujah. But in every case, God was bringing a revelation to the church and to the brethren about their position of sexual improprieties. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I think the men dress sometimes as bad as the women. How many sons do I have? Four? Five? I have four or five sons. I get them mixed up with the grandchildren. All right, my wife says I have five sons. And when they were growing up, they would work for me. I was a construction contractor. I would build houses. I would do commercial work. So you see, I have always worked for a living. Hallelujah. I didn't work at being a preacher. Being a preacher would never sustain me. There's something about telling people the truth that makes them put a cramp on their wallet. Hallelujah. I had one man says, "Why don't you come and preach something good?" Praise the Lord. I said, "I am preaching something good because I preach what God gives me to say." Hallelujah. I'm just kind of giving you some of my credentials. My resume. Hallelujah. For 20 some years, I had a church in my home. That group turned over 3 times. Hallelujah. At the time, we were homeschooling our kids because we believed that the church, that the system was wanting to destroy them. And it is really true. If you want your children to turn into devils, send them to public school. Hallelujah. We were very responsible as parents. And when we started homeschooling, it wasn't something that anybody was doing. This was almost 40 years ago. Hallelujah. And nobody was doing it. We had to want to do it, to do it. And we really wanted to do it. But you know, one of the maladies that I found, I went to many different Christian organizations who were involved in the homeschooling moment, movement, publishing books and curriculum. And prior to them saying they would help me, they had to critique who I was and how successful I was in doing it. And most of the time, by the time I finished telling them of our church experience, the smallness of our group, they would say, well, we would very much like to help you, but we can't. You are not successful enough. Hallelujah. You know, but out of that group turning over three times, every time there was a soul or two that found the reality of God in the word that we are sharing. Hallelujah. And when I left that area 20 some years ago, there is a small segment of people who gather themselves together, not unto themselves, but unto God for the sake of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So here I am, up there on this promontory rock overlooking this beach. And I look out over the ocean, and because of my advantage point, I am able to see what looks like a small wave building. And as I was looking, it began to build bigger and bigger, and I knew that I was looking at the beginning of a tsunami. But unlike the tsunami that hit Japan, this tsunami was not a natural thing. Because it says that the dragon shall throw out of its mouth dirty water. Hallelujah. It's a dragon water. Did you hear me? It's a dragon water. It has to do with sin and sexuality and spiritual deception. We are living in the hour of the rising of the Antichrist. I'm not talking about those little denominations and things that you're involved with. I'm talking about the Antichrist spirit that wants to bring the Holy Place Church to a place of perdition. Hallelujah. You know something? The devil's not worried about the non-Christian. The devil is not worried about church. He's not worried about the Baptist church. He's not worried about the Pentecostal church. He's not even worried about the UPC church. What he's concerned about is the Holy Place Church. For we are living in a time frame of the abomination that maketh desolate the holy place. I would suggest that you get a concordance and you go into your concordance and look up the word abomination. It is not something that's just bad. It is something that God abhors. And God is going to bring judgment on the Holy Place Church. Hallelujah. You know, I grew up in a Baptist church. I changed my affiliation when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we began to worship and to praise God. But there was something about the environment that was not pleasing to us, nor was it pleasing to God. We were involved in church business, activities with the young people. We were there on Sunday. We were there on Sunday night. We were there on Wednesday night. Hallelujah. We came to the Bible studies and all of the things that were going on. Hallelujah. I did not have somebody come to me and tell me that I had to get out of it. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. I did not have the privilege. Because there wasn't anybody around at that time in my locality that was preaching this message. And we began to be dissatisfied, uncomfortable. One of the things we discovered is the church wanted to get me tied up in doing something and get my wife tied up in doing something and separate us. Was not something that I was comfortable with. Hallelujah. One morning, Sunday morning, I awoke. And I did not feel the unction to get up out of my bed to go to church. At that time, the church we were in, we were fellowshipping with my mother. We were fellowshipping with my brother. And there was some friends that we had that we were in fellowship with in that church. And I, as I felt this disquieting in my spirit, I grabbed the phone and I called my mother. I called my brother. And I called the friends that we were close to and I said to them, I do not feel like going to church this morning. Yeah. Are you listening, children? Are you listening? It doesn't look like you're listening. Hallelujah. Well, I begin to share with her my disquietness, my uneasiness about it. Now, there, we had no knowledge of church business. Come on, do you hear me? We did not have any knowledge of prophecy. All of us had been recently baptized in the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I do not understand, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. But it seems as though we need to hear it from somebody else more than what we are able to hear it from the Holy Spirit. So I called my mother and she said, "You know, Bert, I really don't feel like going to church either. Why don't you come? And we will worship the Lord in my living room." Hallelujah. I had none of the knowledge that you people have. I had none of the awareness that you people have, that you have, or the word that you had seen. All I had was this disturbance in my spirit. Hallelujah. So we gathered together not to preach, not to have church, but basically just to fellowship. Brethren, I want to tell you, God came down in that front room. My mother had a little couch there, probably would seat four people. And we had maybe five or six people on it. I was sitting on the extreme left side, right side from looking at you. And the spirit of prophecy fell on us. I have never prophesied a lick in my whole life. I thought maybe I was losing it. I began to wonder if what I was experiencing was really my mind, or maybe it was the devil. Hallelujah. But when the Spirit of God lifted off of me, it fell on the next one. And when it was finished with the next one, it fell on the next one. And when it was finished, it fell on the next one. Until it went right down the row until the last one. You know, that was the one and only time that some of those people ever prophesied again. But when it was all said and done, God had told us what He wanted us to do, how we were to do it, how often we were to do it, that we were not to advertise that God would bring people to our door, and that there would be a blessing that would come because of it. That little house fellowship grew from five persons to about 75 people in a matter of weeks. Brethren, we did not tell people we're having meetings in my mother's house. God said that He would bring the people He wanted to bring. We had people coming from all across the United States to our home fellowship. There was a lady that was on a sabbatical from one of the major denominations. And she had been on sabbatical by the church to go around and investigate this movement. How she found us, I have no idea. She came in, she sat down, she took her notes, and she left. Hallelujah. But again and again and again, the meetings got so huge, so big, that the neighbors started to complain. There were cars parked up and down the street, sometimes blocking their driveway or sitting out in front of their house. So they sent a police officer out to the house to knock on our door. Now this is 40 years ago. Laws were a lot more convenient, they were a lot less stringent, and they were a lot less harsh. But, hallelujah. He told us that we could not do what we were doing. And they brought the health department out to investigate our bathrooms and our space. The fire department came. And they told us that if we did not move, they would fine us. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's kind of a mystery to me. Hallelujah. It's kind of a mystery to me that the amount of word that you have received and the extent of revelation that has come because of it, that you are not flowing in it in a greater measure or in a greater way. Hallelujah. Something is wrong. And usually the wrongness comes from our position, our soul position of our soul position of captivity to the activities of devils. Oh yeah, some of you are practicing witchcraft. You want a husband. You want a husband. So you go to the witch doctor to get a husband. You want something done. Somebody has done something wrong to you. It has hurt you. It has upset you. So you go to a witch doctor, a juju man, and you pay them some portion, depending on what it is that you want them to do for you. And of course, the harm that you want to inflict on the people that you have a grievance against, hallelujah, determines the cost that is involved as far as you are concerned. Some of you, when you got married, you submitted to the ritual of marriage. Hallelujah. And when you had your first child, you called on spirits to name the child. Hallelujah. Now, don't tell me you don't, because I know different. And if it is nothing more, then you speaking something negative with your mouth against another person. The thing that you speak can be life or death. The Bible says that life and death is in the tongue. It's not in the devil's tongue. It is not in the devil's power or ability to wreak havoc or destruction or to kill or destroy without you. Without you, the devil is nothing. Did you hear me? Devil has no power. Now the devil is something that wants to frighten you. He will send spirits into your home at night, and they will walk through your house. They will be sowing their seeds of destruction. Hallelujah. They will be putting and orchestrating your day the next day. Hallelujah. Because they are wanting to set you up to bring you into a place of bondage. Hallelujah. You have somebody that is sick. So you don't take them to the doctor per se, or if you do, the doctor cannot help them. So you turn to the other alternative. You buy these little twigs and things in pouches and tack them up over your door. Or you hang them on the wall. Hallelujah. Or you put them on the doorpost of your house. Some of you still have statues in your home from your Catholicism days. You've got some of the saints there. Now, I haven't been in any of your homes to speak of. But I believe that I'm talking to you via the Spirit of God. And sometimes, if you don't have them in your home and you're going down the street, you will pass a shrine, a demonic altar. Hallelujah. And you will have a thought in your mind that you will say unto the altar. It's a passing thought. Hallelujah. It's a passing thought. But what you don't know is that there is a devil guiding his finger in your brain, manipulating your mind, manipulating your emotions, and manipulating your desires to do the will of hell. Hallelujah. It's time for the church to rise up. It's time for the church to shake off this this facade, this veneer of religiosity. I don't know if it was here that Brother Martin shared his testimony, but I think he shared it one time when we were here. And when he was in there in Czech Republic and we were coming through for the first time, and as he was sitting in the meetings, hallelujah, his testimony is that he did not know one thing that we were talking about. But what he did know is that he wanted it. Did you hear me? He wanted it. How much do you want it? How much is it that you're willing to give for it? Hallelujah. And when the break came and he began to take a walk, Satan sent a messenger to Brother Martin. The devil said to him, if you want to be a Christian, that's okay. If you want to be a pastor, I will make you a big pastor. But if you follow after this word, my master, isn't that right? My master will kill you. Hallelujah. Thank God that did not deter him or detract him. If anything, it probably excited him more to know that he was on the right track. Hallelujah. And I was standing out on this promontory watching this wave. And it started out very, very small in height. But as it came closer and closer to the front of the beach, it got bigger and it got bigger and it got bigger. And it got so big that I began to feel panic. Because the people down there on the beach were not aware of that thing that was coming. Hallelujah. And as it came, it gained strength, it gained momentum, it gained height. And I began to gesticulate and yell and dance and point and do all kinds of things. Doing them like a crazy man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And instead of them taking heed, instead of them being aware of their danger, they begin to mock me. They begin to point at me and laugh. Hallelujah. And all of the time, that wave was moving in to destroy everyone that was upon the beach. That wave, my brethren, is a whole lot closer than it was when I saw it several years ago. And I, like a crazy man, like a madman, running back and forth across the world, talking to the different fellowships that we are aware of, mile after mile, hour after hour. Hallelujah. Running like a crazy man. Hallelujah. My time at home is getting less and less. My time with my grandkids is getting less and less. Hallelujah. The greater the demand, the closer we get. Hallelujah. When I was in Africa last year, hallelujah, maybe the year before, but anyway, you know, it's hard for me to remember where I've been or how long I was there and when it was I was there. Hallelujah. I traveled over 287,000 miles, 267,000 miles last year. Hallelujah. And I will travel more miles, preaching the same word that I am preaching to you. I don't know if you will ever see my face again. I hope so, maybe. But I don't know how much time we got. All I know is destruction is coming. Economies are collapsing. Your economy is so corrupt, so absolutely blatantly dishonest. They don't hide it anymore. Why? Because they're not afraid of you, the church. They're not afraid of you. You're doing nothing to damage their position of control. Do you know, as sons of God, we are supposed to save the world. We have a lot of trouble saving ourselves, much less the world. We as a people are in trouble. You're in trouble. To whom much is given. Do you hear me? To whom much is given. Brother John, do you hear me?
Amen.
It is not us that is scrutinizing you. It is not us that are assessing you in your position. It is the Holy Ghost that is assessing your position and whether or not you qualify. Because God is going to have the last word. You may say, well, I have this, and I did this baptism, and I saved this many souls. But brethren, unless we are changing by virtue of the power of the word of God that has been given to us, we are not accomplishing what needs to be done. We made a major thrust into Africa maybe 2 years ago. The brethren from Nigeria went into Central Africa. And then some of those brethren along with myself went into Sierra Leone. And it was a major push in the spirit to upset the economy of hell. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Sometimes we think that Africa, because of what Africa is a bad place for spirits. But brethren, you have the same spirit. You just call them by a different name. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be saving the world. In the conference that we had in Port Harcourt this last December, God said to the Holy Place Church, because of your disobedience, because of your individuality, because of your haughtiness and pride, hallelujah, and unless you repent, I am going to send civil war. Did you hear me? Now, I don't know how it is here. I can imagine that war here can be just as brutal, just as demonic, and what one human being can do to another human being, we would not even think they would be capable of doing it. But you are talking about a humanity that no longer has the concept of God. They have eradicated the God consciousness. And without God consciousness, you cannot be convicted. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? You can eradicate the God consciousness in you. God comes to knock on your door, and you do not hear the knock because you're so busy talking. You're so busy doing. You're so busy living. You're so busy raising your family and trying to survive. God talks, and you do not hear. Brethren, I wish I could bring another word to you. But because I love you and I want to see you change, the burden is upon my heart to be very honest with you and very blunt. You know, we did some major damage in Africa. And the devil got very mad at us. I'm sorry?
Major damage to the devil.
We did major damage to the kingdom of hell. All right, what did I say? Praise the Lord. Major damage. Do you know who David Wilkerson is? Does anybody know who David Wilkerson is?
David Wilkerson.
No? My God. David Wilkerson had a prophetic ministry for the end time church. The only trouble with David Wilkerson was that he did not believe that the system that he was involved in was counter to God's desire. Many years ago, Brother Duciel, myself, Brother Clay Sonmore tried to reach David Wilkerson. He was the one that started Teen Challenge, the drug habilitation. And he graduated from that to a worldwide ministry. In fact, he has even been here to the Philippines. He's been here to the Philippines. And there were thousands of people that were coming to his meeting. But David Wilkerson rejected us. Hallelujah. I need to share something with you. If you have heard this word, and it has stirred your heart, and you have initiated a movement toward God, you become enemy number one. Did you hear me? You know, it really makes no difference if you're not doing anything with it. You have heard it. And the hearing of it is a potential threat to the devil. And the devil never knows. The devil never knows when you will activate. So the devil comes into a fellowship and he starts picking off the outer fringes of the fellowship. Strange things begin to happen. Automobile accidents, falling down accidents, sicknesses, cancer, all kinds of maladies begin to creep in to your body. And we do not look at it as a judgment of God. We look at it as a human thing. Did you hear me? We look at it as a human thing. It is not human, Brother John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When you are in a meeting and you are preaching the word of righteousness, if a homosexual comes into your meeting and he is able to sit and not leave, if he is able to abide in his seat while you are preaching the word of righteousness, there is something wrong with your word. It seems that the church is more tolerant to homosexuality than society at large, although that number of that percentage of tolerance is getting less and less between the world and the church. Hallelujah. Most of the ministers in the church are involved in fornication and adultery. And we go to church and we sit under that spirit of fornication. We sit under that spirit of adultery. And we become contaminated. Do you hear me? In your position of acquisition to that spirit, in the spirit of tolerance, I don't mean that you take the people and begin to abuse them or club them with a club of righteousness. But if you are preaching the truth, that truth that you're going to preach is going to bother those people that are in your congregation. The first meeting that we went to in Quezon City, there was a contingent of homosexuals that came into the meeting. They were probably 7 or 8 of them. And it came my turn to minister the word. And I said to God, I need your unction, I need your anointing, that they can be convicted of their sin and repent. And as I begin to minister, they begin to mock me. They begin to interact with each other. Now, I wasn't discouraged, because their interaction and their mocking was a sign that I was hitting the mark. I can tell you, when we came back to the next meeting, the next day, about 80% of them did not come back. And the ones that did come back wanted to hear what it was that we were bringing to the people. If your life is not righteous, if you do not have the spirit of sanctification working in your life, and it's changing you from what it is you are to what it is that God wants you to be. Hallelujah. There is something wrong with your gospel. You can blame the church. You can blame the pastor. You can blame your circumstances or situation. But that isn't the blame. The blame has to be assessed with the overseers and the one that have oversight concerning the work. And they are tolerant towards sin. And if you were to look into their private lives, you would probably find some evidence of that sin working. You and I are born. We are born dead. No matter how cute. cute and cuddly the baby is, no matter how much you love him or love her, and you want to hold it and pet it, that child, unless you give them righteousness, will follow in your footsteps, and their fate will be worse than your fate. Hallelujah. Because you would have let the torch drop. Hallelujah. I've been involved in the church a long time. And if anybody does not believe in pastor, it is me. And yet, in all of my goodness, good works, and my desire for the people to achieve a higher excellence of righteousness, I was becoming a pastor. When nobody else would do it, I would do it. When there was need of money, I dug into my pocket. If there was counseling to be done and there was nobody available, I was available. I went to every meeting. I went to Sunday. I went to Sunday evening. I went to Tuesday night prayer meetings, Wednesday night Bible study, Friday night prayer meeting, Thursday night, hallelujah, and then again Sunday to start the whole process all over again. God allowed a spirit of contention to be raised up against my wife and I. Now I could get very angry with God. I could become very angry with God for that happening. But God was merciful to me because he began to show me my position of transgression. Brethren, I have been involved in the church for almost 40 years. Not the organized church out there. The church of body. The church that talks about the end time and sons of God. Hallelujah. But I began to find myself slipping and sliding down a very steep hill into the quagmire of being a pastor. You know, it was very humiliating what was going on. They were saying things about Nancy and I that were not true. But nevertheless, I could not look at the fabrication or the lies. I had to look at God. And when God began to speak to Nancy and I that we needed to withdraw, my God. You have no comprehension of what it was and how of the demand that God was making on us. I love church. I love the fellowship. I love the interaction with the Word and all of those things that God said you must withdraw. Hallelujah. So there are things. If we have a heart after God, that God will begin to reveal. Because you see, that spirit of control, that spirit of the bishop, has not been defeated. That spirit of the bishop, the Nicolaitan spirit, is still very much alive and working to do its very best to destroy this fellowship. Not only do you have to deal with a Nicolaitan spirit, because you see, it's not just the pastor's fault. Sometimes it's the people's fault. Because they want a pastor. They're content with having a pastor. And so they make us a pastor. When that happens, we should rend our garment. Rend our garment. Go down in sackcloth in ashes before God. And ask Him to purge you and I from that Nicolaitan devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You haven't gone beyond it. You haven't overcome it. It's still very much alive in your congregation. Oh boy, I'm going to touch on something else now. I want to touch on the Jezebel spirit. Not only the Jezebel spirit, but the Ahab spirit. My job is not to overcome the Jezebel spirit. My job is not to tell or to say to someone, you have a Jezebel spirit. My job is to recognize the Ahab mentality that gives Jezebel the strength to work destruction in the church. Not only is Jezebel working in the church, but Jezebel is working in the homes. Whether you are married or whether you are not, women have to overcome the Jezebel spirit. Some woman, did you hear me? Some woman somewhere has to overcome the Jezebel spirit. Listen to me, ladies. It is a great privilege to be a woman. It is a great honor to be a woman. And you have an authority in the Lord that is delegated to you and you alone. It says of a foolish woman, she plucketh down her house with her own hand. But the wise and virtuous woman buildeth it up and makes it a strong city. Hallelujah. makes no difference how a man or a woman respond to each other in a marriage situation, except for the fact that one of them have to recognize the position that they are in and the detriment that is coming to them because of this particular spirit. We see the woman again and again being diverted and subverted by the devil. The first account that we have of it is in the garden. Paul tells us that the woman is the weaker vessel. That means that I have a responsibility concerning my wife, and the spiritual environment in which we live. And I cannot be accusing her of being Jezebel. That does not work. A woman has to come to the conscious conclusion on her own of how the Jezebel spirit works within her sets of circumstances. And the man has a responsibility, hallelujah, to find the position of authority in God and move in that position without bringing offense. Because when we start talking about these two spirits, we become very defensive. If something negative is brought up about one or the other, we immediately jump to a position of defense of our nature and the thing that we are doing. Hallelujah. Brother Dusil told me in the early days, he said, Bert, if a Christian comes to you and he tells you that you're a dirty dog, you must not become offended. You must be able to listen to the complaint. Hallelujah. Somebody has to start overcoming, whether it is the women or whether it is the men. Somebody has to begin to move in the unction to make sure that they clean their plate before they try to clean the plate of somebody else. When we made this move into Africa, it was April of one year. Whether it was last year or the year before, I don't know. But God began to minister to me. He came into my room, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not what. And he brought me into the inner workings of hell. Now I was privileged to be in the council, the war council of hell, concerning the moving of this word. And they began to put different ideas. You talk about a corporate brainstorming. Different ideas of what we could do with this one, what they could do with that one. And on the table was files and dossiers of people and governments. And there was a special pile of files for sons of God. So I'm sure, brother, your name was on one of the files. It would not surprise me to find the children have a file or a dossier. And they were discussing all kinds of things that they could do to stop us as a church. When I awoke in the morning in my bed, I heard the news that David Wilkerson was dead. So I began to inquire how he had died. Now David Wilkerson was a man of God. He was a prophet for the end time. And he was ministering to the sin that was in the church. Hallelujah. But because he had rejected the word of the body, that put him out there on the peripheral. He did not have the covering that he needed for the office that he was in. A man of God of David Wilkerson caliber should have never died the way he died. Him and his wife were driving down a road, and all of a sudden the car went out of control. It jumped across a median that was in the highway, and it ran head on into a large tractor trailer, truck and trailer. And I heard from the devil. He says, as I have done to David Wilkerson, so I will do to you also. I'm not any greater than anybody. I'm not more vulnerable than anybody. Hallelujah. You're just as much a threat. Brother, what are you going to do with this word of the kingdom? It is not a time to jump and shout. I'm all for jumping and shouting and having a good time in the spirit. Those times of refreshing are necessary. But we live in a very serious time. And the devil has been given the license to come against you. Even as the devil came against Job, at the behest of God to the devil, so we have the same position of jeopardy. The Lord told me one day, I was on a plane about 35,000 feet. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Brother Bert, if you don't get up higher, you are a dead man. Did you hear me? God told me that. But in telling me that, he was telling me something else. He cannot protect me. He cannot cover me in the place that I'm in. Hallelujah. Again, when I was in Africa, the violence broke out in Tanzania. Is that right? You remember the riots and the oppressive government that they were overthrowing? Tunisia. Yeah. You probably said, well, serves the dictator right. But the Lord said to me, this wave of tsunami, violence is going to spread again across Africa. It's going to be exported into Europe. And while I was in Europe ministering in the Prague Fellowship, sharing with them this word of violence, London was burning. We live in serious times. The devil intends to export it to the United States. I'm telling you this so that when it begins to happen, you will know that it was told to you prior to it happening. But brethren, if you do not do something now, my telling you of this is of little value. You need to start in your environment, whatever it is, taking over the environment of your soul. You are a nation of people who have know and have experienced much war. But the war that you have experienced is just a drop in the bucket as to what is coming on this land. God is warning you to get up higher. Personal sanctification. Personal consecration. Go home and begin to clean your house, whatever it may be. Get rid of all the Catholic things. Get rid of all the occult things. Stop sinning. Repent and turn away from it unto God. And God will heal you as well as give you an authority. Hallelujah. And one of the things that God wants to do with you is to build safe houses. Places that you can go that are covered by the blood and by the presence of God. But God isn't going to save you if you are not righteous. God is not going to save you if you are not repenting. God is not going to save you unless you are dealing with these spiritual spirits. Spirit of religion. Spirit of sexuality. Jezebel and Ahab. That is your job. And you do it by sanctification. Jesus said of his disciples, I have sanctified myself for their sakes. And if I am working on my sanctification, and destruction comes to my little town in Illinois, and I am somewhere else in the world, I do not have to fear. I do not have to be trepidatious. Because if I am doing what God wants me to do, and working on repentance and sanctification, God will take care of my children. I have no fear with leaving my family. God told me a long time ago, if I would be obedient to do what He is requiring of me to do, He will do for my children and my grandchildren what I cannot do. God bless you.